This is Japan Baseball Weekly. News, interviews, analysis, and your questions, all about NPB. And now your hosts, Johnny Gibson and Jin Allen.
Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast. It's for the week of March 18th. I'm John Gibson, and with me on a Saturday morning, at least in Japan, is Jim Allen. How you doing, bud?
I'm well for it being Saturday morning.
Good. Well, I don't even know what day it is. And joining us from Toronto, our friend, it's an evening over there. It's a Friday, actually, for him, is Claudio Rodriguez of Baseball Japonis. Thanks, buddy, for being on the show again.
Hey, thank you for inviting me. Always a pleasure.
All right. So let me get my bearings straight here because I've already messed up the day. But we're going to be presenting our Central League prediction special. Again, guest Claudio Rodriguez. We're so used to doing this, and it has been different formats through the years, but this year I decided to streamline it and cut things down a little bit and save some time and get some more debate in there, because I don't think we have enough exchange all the time, because we have so many people trying to get something to get some time to speak. So I wanted to do that. So anyway, we're going to be going through the Central League and predicting top to bottom all of our teams and why, and we've got data and opinions to support those facts. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases.
So I have a name for all these prediction lists and shows and specials. I'm going to call them from now on blind appraisals. Because it's like someone is using a landline, a telephone to describe a house, and it's our job to appraise it. And it's almost impossible, right? Because we don't know exactly what things look like. We're relying on somebody's opinion, and somebody's opinion being the preseason with all these varying agendas. I'm seeing guys out there, and it's so visible this year. I think you can see some guys out there really working hard to try to get a job, whereas some of the veterans are just working on particular aspects of their games. And that thing, I think, has come across in some of the results. And so I don't take those seriously. But for me, it's about the Hanshin Tigers coming off this ending of a 38-year championship drought and decades of angst and pent-up frustration for fans just kind of unleashed. And they just had a drunkenness, I think, here in the preseason, and they kind of stumbled through the preseason. And I believe they had a club worst 9-game skid to start the exhibition season. So we've seen that. We have a new manager, Shinosuke Abe of the Giants, and I'm just going to keep an eye on him, of what his thought process is, how he works players, how he works teams, how he strategizes in games. I'm looking forward to that. We have a CARP team that I think last season overachieved, in my opinion, and I can't wait to see how that team balances things out and works forward in this season. And then you have the Swallows and Bay Stars. I think they're a little light on pitching, but you know, which team has the depth and luck in terms of health to stay in the pennant race and make a push for the playoffs? And then there's Mr. Brown Hair and White Rice with the Dragons. if last night, I don't know if anybody saw the game, but on Friday night there was a scoreless draw against the Tigers, and yeah, I think I saw about six or seven of those last season with the Dragons. And I don't know. I always like to see who's going to be the breakout rookie in a season, and where are those draft picks? Who's going to come up with a fourth round pick who reaches stardom or makes a contribution or something like that? But I just like watching the preseason, and I'm excited for the regular season to play out. Can't wait to see what teams are going to be first and last in you guys' predictions. So let's start it off with Jim.
Okay, the Hanshin Tigers, as John alluded to, won their first Japan Series since 1985, back in the Randy Bass, Akinobu Okada, Akinobu Mayumi, and...
As players.
yes. Hold on. Okada... Oh, and Kakefu, Masayuki Kakefu, was the fourth member of their 30 home run gang. So it was quite a, you know, it was a different look kind of Tigers team, a really, really young team. And I think that was the big thing from them. My expected rotation for the Tigers, not in any really particularly strong order, but right now, Masashi Ito, Shoki Murakami, Hiroto Saiki, Kotaro Otake, Koyo Aoyagi. They've got three others who, three other guys who are interesting. until through Thursday, Yuki Nishi and Junya Nishi had not pitched in the spring, which was intriguing because pretty much every starter who's going to play this year has thrown at least three innings in one start. And that was sort of my benchmark for putting them in the starting. You know, I looked for guys who threw those three or four innings. And the interesting thing is a guy named Keito Mombetsu is a rookie who's getting some, or a unknown player who's been getting a bunch of starts and been quite good. So that's interesting. Now, the key additions are basically, I have two. The Tigers really didn't do a lot. The key, however, one guy who is a key addition, I think, is their first round draft choice, who is a Kaito Shimomura. And now the reason I'm mentioning him because I didn't really look at too many pitchers, is that he's a first round right-hander, and he's out of college, and he's a Haya Umare. Now, a Haya Umare means in Japanese that he was born between January 1st and April 1st, which meant he went through his school career as being nearly a year younger than all his classmates. This tends to make them not as good in school. And my experience with these guys in the data is that once they turn pro, and age is no longer, they're not competing strictly against people who are older than them. These guys who are better than people who were older than them in school tend to be a lot better than everybody else. So just to give you a clue, I did a little research, and this will be very, very quick. So basically, yeah, the career expectation is about 50% better for guys who are first round Haya Umare pitchers in their careers. It's 50% better for the universities, and that's the best single category of guys coming out of corporate university or high school. And the high schoolers are better than the other high schoolers. And so many of the best pitchers are Haya Umare guys. Best pitchers and catchers tend to be. There's another reason for that, but I won't get into it. Okay, so there's that. The other key addition is Javier Guerra, another right-handed pitcher. I don't really have any expectations for him other than just, you know, we'll see. And some guys make the adjustments and they don't. The big roster hit is Kyle Keller, the reliever who went to the Omiri Giants. My outlook is that the Tigers didn't add significant talent, but they are really a young team, and they should get a little better here and there. Where they get better, you know, I'm not going to predict. I think Teruaki Sato is going to take another little jump forward. I think Takumu Nakano is just a tremendous player and really, really just a very nice guy, and I hope the best for him. And my prediction is they're going to repeat in first place, which surprised the heck out of me.
Yeah. Well, I like what you said about the younger players. And I would add that for me, because I was one of those people who graduated early from high school, it makes you fight to keep up with the older kids because you're always surrounded with them and there's no escaping. You just have to be better. And I don't know that it makes a difference on the baseball field once you develop fully. But that you have to develop fully. So I would add that. And I would also say that they lost pitcher Kosuke Baba in the second chance draft. He was a reliever who got some innings for them. He was a contributor. Let's put it that way. He wasn't a big bullpen piece. And then they got rid of, I shouldn't say got rid of, but they let Shun Takayama, a guy we thought was going to be great, go, and Fumiya Hojo, who I guess he was mostly a sentimental piece because he was a good clutch pinch hitter for them at times. But yeah, you're right. I don't think they lost much. But Claudia, what's your outlook for the Tigers?
Well, I have the Tigers in second. I like the team. They did very well last year without much help from imports. And I think they can do well this year as well because they have the team to do it. But historically, they haven't being able to keep their good momentum from one year to the next. Every time they have a really good season, the next season, almost always they just go down. You know, when they won everything in 1985 and 1986 season, they ended up third, even though Randy Bass had another amazing Triple Crown season. And, you know, when they won in 2003, 2004, it wasn't as great. So I'm just going with history and thinking, okay, this year they're going to be good. They're going to make the playoffs, but they're not going to win the Central League title against them. I have them in second.
I would comment on that and say that there's a difference between these teams and those in that the 1985 team was an old team.
Okay.
And they also had a weird situation where they had a manager who was, he basically, well, this is the story of former Tiger. I forget his name. He was named Kudo, and I don't remember his first name. Told me on the Cebu line, the train to Cebu Dome one day. He said, we had a manager who he took over in 1984, and he just basically kept with the plan, and it worked. In 1985, that plan worked. And in 1986, Yoshio Yoshida thought he knew everything. And then it went third place, sixth place, and the Tigers were into the basement faster than an elevator with no brakes.
Yeah.
This is a younger team. I think this is different from that, and also from the 2003 team, which is also quite old, and which 2004 Okada came in and he was a new manager, and they were respectable that year, I thought. So I don't think they're quite the same, but you know, it's always hard to repeat. So. And the Tigers.
Not that I'm rooting for them to fail. I would love to see them win again, but you know, I have my doubts. That's
you
all I'm
hate
saying.
Them.
I'm
you
playing
hate
it safe.
Them. No, we understand that. And I get the idea or the notion that the Tigers are going to be a little title drunk still, and they're going to start the season a little bit slow. And let's remember, last year they weren't great out of the gate, so to speak. They just had a great summer. You know, I think it was August and September when they went on their road trip of death and they won all the games, and they came back off of that and they kept winning. And that was what really pushed them to finish off that title run. So it wasn't that they were dominating the whole league. And I don't think, you know, I keep looking, unless Sato goes crazy, there's only one dynamic bat in the whole league, and that's Munetaka Murakami. Maybe Kazuma Okamoto can get close to that. But I mean, if you look right now, from what we can see, that's the most dynamic bat out there. So so if Sato goes crazy, yeah, I think that's certainly going to push them in the right direction. But again, I think the team is really deep. I think Jim mentioned that they have so many pitchers. They have starting pitching for days. They can send some of those guys to the bullpen. So I think talent-wise, especially on the mound, I think they're above the other teams. So it's just a matter of how they go out and execute and how people stay healthy during the season. But I just think there is a hangover thing that is real, and that is to say that there's mental fatigue, there's physical fatigue. You come into a season after playing at the really high level where your concentration level is at its peak, and you're just playing regular season games. It's hard to get up for those. And so I suspect they might have a sluggish start to the season, but I'm glad they brought back Sheldon Noisy. He made a nice play last night, grabbed a ball off the wall that was a double, and threw the lead runner out at third base, who was trying to extend from first to second on really what was a double. But it was a catcher, but he still made a nice throw and a nice play. And, Jim, you said Nakano is great. I love what they have going on up the middle with anybody who plays there, and Shota Morishita last season as a rookie was really impressive. So I think they're capable of generating.
I didn't mention him, but yeah, I mean, basically he was a player who didn't get a lot. He wasn't getting lots of playing time at the beginning of the season, but boy, the second half, he was just perfect. He was a veteran in the second half, or at least he had that kind of attitude.
And I think it worked out perfectly for them because he wasn't fatigued at the end of the season, and he was productive in the postseason because of it. I really liked that whole situation. So I like what you said, Claudio. You know, you look at the history, it makes sense that they don't come back and win a title. But I'm looking at the rest of the league and who can really catch them. who's going to score enough runs off of them consistently to beat them. And I don't see that team. The Dragons would be the Dragons
that's
are the team.
That's our little joke there.
The Dragons are the team on the side of the freeway. Says we'll work for runs. They're selling oranges, okay, half eaten.
Hashtag high heat.
So they got a real good chance of selling them. So let's not get into that. We've got comedy time is going to come at the end. So we will see that.
More abuse to be. We've got lots of abuse to heap on the Dragons. So let's get going.
Yeah. So I wanted to pick the team, the Tigers, last season. I think I said in the prediction show, I really want to pick this team first, but it has a habit of tripping and falling and stumbling and everything. But I think the thing that you're pointing out, that this is a young core. There are a lot of young players out here, and they've done it now. And I don't, you know, one thing I always tell Jason Koskery, our buddy, who's not with us, and his young, beautiful baby, he's taken care of, and they're getting ready to go to the States, so he's not available to be on the show this season. But what I often tell him is, look, nobody thinks you can win a championship until you win a championship. And then people start thinking that's all you're going to do is win championships. So, I don't want to be prisoner of the moment, but I just don't see a lot of teams in this league that are going to challenge the Tigers talent-wise. So I have them also finishing in first place. All right, next up, the Hiroshima Carp, and that's Claudio.
Actually, I wanted just to follow a John tradition here and put a disclaimer first to say, hey, this an educated guess. But I guess
Claudio,
nonetheless.
We know these are educated guests. Nobody thinks
because
we've got.
Because if
the future.
If we could really predict who's going to win, we would be gamblers, you know, professional gamblers earning millions of dollars every year, you know, living the life. And
hey, I already called it blind appraisal.
Okay, so
what
everybody get that. We do not know what we're doing. It's okay. We're good with that.
And how do you know I'm all educated?
Right. All right, let's go then. Okay, so the Carp, the expected rotation in no particular order, Hiroki Tokoda, Aaron Curi, Daichi Osera, Masato Morishita. Morishita is playing, right? He's not injured or anything.
Yes.
I haven't
seen
him.
He's
okay.
Back.
Yusuke Nomura, I'm guessing, is going to be the other one. And I guess Thomas Hatch, one of the newcomers that seems to be already pitching and doing well. The key additions, Thomas Hatch, Taylor Hearn, Matt Reynolds, and Jake Shiners. All right, so the roster hits Ryoma Nishikawa, who moved to Oryx, and then all other four foreigners they had last year, Nick Turley, Drew Anderson, Matt Davison, and Ryan McBroom all left. I'm not sure why. Nick Turley did great. Matt Davison was very good. McBroom was good, not as good as Davidson, but he was good. And Drew Anderson was good as well. I don't know why they all left, but they left. So those are hits for the team. The outlook, as John mentioned at the beginning, I believe as well that they overperformed last year. Nobody expected them to do that well, but they did. They were really good with the same players they had before. So it's not like somebody new came and did everything. I mean, other than Arai as a manager.
Yeah, but Jim did predict that they were going to do well. So we got to give him credit.
Oh, okay. So, I believe they overperformed last year. I think they're going to keep some of the momentum this year. So they're going to do well, but not as well as last year. Because, I mean, it's not like you're going to get four new foreigners and they're going to perform as good as the ones that just left. It's not that easy to have that, to change players that way and still have the same production from them. So I think they're going to still do good like they did last year, but not as well. So I have them finishing in fourth place.
All right, Jim.
Okay. Just a couple of things. I would add Shogo Tamamura to the potential starters.
Oh, yes.
But they've got a bunch of them. they've got a bunch of them they were giving shots to in the preseason. I don't expect them all to appear, but this looks like, you know, Carp 2023 part two, which is pretty much the Carp we've been seeing for the last three or four years. They've got paid probably four starters and then you know, anybody's guess who's going to be the next good guy to come out on the mound. You know, who is this guy today? Oh, geez, he's thrown six innings and allowed three hits and a walk and struck out four. Who is this guy?
Yeah.
It's going to be more of that. Shohei Mori's another guy. Makoto Ajiwa has a chance to be one of those guys. Yeah, good point. I would say the key additions you mentioned, I think, are absolutely, I always wanted to ask if somebody punched the carp over the off season, you know, because they got a shiner. But I talked to their assistant GM in Nashville, and I asked him about these guys. You know, these guys can play. He said, "I know they can play, but knowing they can play and putting up numbers that are good enough to keep them playing when you know they can play are two different things."
Yes.
And the numbers they put up were not enough for them to keep their jobs. And although that does not apply to Nick Turley. Nick Turley was very suitable. He got the typical carp treatment, was once you're good, you go somewhere else. Yoma Nishikawa was the best player on the team, so losing him was going to be a hurt. I mean, I think, as you know, I think Shogo Sakakura is going to be the best player on the team in the future, but he wasn't last year.
Okay. I look at it, I mean, I love
Takahiro. Oh, I'm sorry, my prediction is
that's
fifth.
Right.
My prediction is fifth.
Okay, fifth place. I love the manager, Takahiro Arai. He's such a good person. I think he really has his act together. I believe that's why the team maybe performed above expectations. But I think in year two under a manager, I think the players have a better understanding of how things are going to go, how the system is going to run. So I think they're going to perform better in that kind of environment, I'm hoping, or I'm assuming. But you look at their numbers, they didn't hit great, they didn't pitch great, they just won games. Like, if you look at it, I believe they had a minus differential by almost 20 runs. they didn't hit a bunch of home runs. My image of them, especially playing against some of the Central League teams, was that they stole a lot of bases. They didn't really do that either. They just won games. They figured out how to get into position to run games and to win games, and they hit well when they needed to hit in close games. And do they have enough power? Probably not. This youngster, Shinsuke Tamura, has had a really strong spring. He's a third-year pro. He'd be a rookie on the top team, but I don't think he has shown us anything that he'll be able to sustain regularly in the regular season. But who knows? He might have, the light might have gone on for him. If he does, he had a two-homer game the other day against the Fighters. If he can have that kind of production, that adds a little bit of length and depth to that lineup. But you look at the pitching staff, who's the ace? We're really not sure. And even if they are put out there as a number one guy, is that really the level of pitcher you're going to see? I don't think so, but they're going to keep you in games every day. But I just have too many questions to pick them to finish first. But I do see them in the postseason, so it was a matter of putting them second or third, since I already put the Tigers there. And I just looked around the rest of the league, and I don't see enough pitching, and they have pitching. And so I'm going to say they're going to finish in second place.
Tom.
Bold prediction.
It's possible.
Sure.
I think if the new imports produce, they could compete for a playoff spot. I think that's really the key. Of course, on the other hand, like I said, they do have a slew of young talent, and the guy I've been picking on for pretty much since he was a second year player, Shota Dobayashi, has actually become a decent player.
Well, he was a decent player before you were picking on him. You just like to pick on him.
That's mean. No, he was not a decent player. You watched him play, and you knew he wasn't really good at playing baseball. He was an athlete who knew how to put the uniform on and swing the bat. He was a really good athlete. There was never any doubt about that.
It's not like he has been a great defensive player. I don't think
he has an approach at the plate, which is something he lacked for the first 4 years of his career.
Well, I mean, remember when we had that wonderful game, the one in which he hit the home run, and it looked like they're off Martinez, and And then they ended up, the Carp ended up losing to the Dragons. And he said, at least the guy who could play hit the home run. And I'm like, Dobayashi has more of a resume than Ishikawa, the guy who hit the home run. But I mean, you're just being mean for no reason.
I was being mean, but that was my honest thought at the time. But I have escaped that. And if I ever see him, I will apologize for being annoying and rude.
Reverse that order and then you'll be all right.
Thank you.
All right. So, so we have a fifth place for Jim. I've got him in fourth. Claudia has him in fourth and I've got him in second. So that's kind of all over the place. But I really think that this is what's happening in the Central League. It's hard to separate these teams. I think I'm going to separate them by pitching, except for the Dragons.
Yeah, I think third to fifth is going to be pretty much a crapshoot. So,
yeah, agreed. Yeah. All right, next up, the Bay Stars, and that's Claudio.
All right, for the Bay Stars, we have the expected rotations going to be Katsuki Asuma, Kenta Ishida, Kentaro Taira, Haruhiro Hamaguchi, I'm guessing. The newcomer, Andre Jackson, could be there. There's a Hayate Nakagawa that's doing very good in the preseason. Maybe he'll get a spot in the rotation. There's also a Kenta Kosono that's doing well. And I'm guessing Shinichi Onuki will be there if they need him. Key additions. We have four new players or three new players, Rowan Week, Anthony Kay, Jackson, and there's also Yuito Mori, who came from SoftBank, and Chihaya Sasaki, that came from Lotte. Roster hits. They have big hits, and that's part of my prediction here. They lost Shota Imanaga, who went to the majors, Neftali Soto, who went to Lotte, Edwin Escobar, who went back to the majors as well. Trevor Bowers didn't renew with the team. And they also let go Robert Gesselman. Is that pronounced?
Gesselman, I think. Yeah, Gesselman. I talked to him once last season and he told me, and he said it so fast I really didn't catch it, but I think it was Gesselman.
Okay. And then Trey Ambergy. The outlook, I would say, not good. I think they lost really key players. Imanaga was big in the team. Soto wasn't putting the same numbers he put at the beginning, but he was a reliable first baseman and he could still hit some homers and drive in some runs. Escobar wasn't great last year, but he was a very consistent reliever for, you know, past 7 years for the team. So not having him in the bullpen is going to be a hit. Trevor Bauer was a solid starter last year. So that's two good starters are not there anymore. And I think it's the newcomers. There's no guarantee that they're going to be able to put the same numbers as these guys had. So I don't have a lot of faith, even though they still have good players. They have some good pitchers. They have some really good hitters. And what's his name again? Miyazaki, the third baseman.
And Miyazaki, yeah.
Toshiro Miyazaki and... But anyways,
position.
Yeah, they have a
Maki.
Shugo Maki. Sorry, the second baseman. Yes. So they have good players. They can play well. It's just that I don't know. They got really hard hits there with the players they lost, and I think it's not going to be easy to replace them. So I have them finishing fifth this season.
All right. Well, did you mention Andre Jackson, the pitcher? I think
yes. Okay. Andre Jackson.
He's a Dodger, and you know I watch the Dodgers, so I've seen his pitches, and they're really hard to hit. I think they might even be hard for him to control. He doesn't have the greatest command over them because there's so much movement on his pitches. So if he can get that in order and doesn't struggle with runners on base, because I believe if he's walking guys, he's going to have to deal with guys on base, that he's going to make a big contribution. So, of course, losing Bauer and Imanaga on your pitching staff is enough of a hit. Then you lose Soto and Escobar, as well as Kazuya Fujita. I believe he's gone. So just he's a veteran presence in the locker room, if nothing else, and maybe like a coach on the field. So so this is going to be extremely tough. I love the Bay Stars. Our own Michael Westbay is a devoted fan, but I just don't see enough depth in the lineup. I don't see enough depth on the mound. I think some teams can lose some players. I love Miyazaki. I love what Watarai can bring. The rookie Ryuki Watarai, I believe he had hit in 11 consecutive games in the preseason. I'm not sure if he got a hit yesterday or not, but he was batting high and he's doing everything that you would think a top pick. He was a popular pick among teams. They won the lottery and got him. And yesterday, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Azuma took a comebacker, a liner off of his glove hand and had to come out of the mound. Now, I read the reports this morning and it didn't say that he had any breaks, but he was joking, saying, I think it's a compound fracture, you know, but it's this non-throwing hand. So it's his glove hand. So I'm not sure that that's a big thing, but still. He's going to be the opening day guy, and I think he showed ace potential last season, so I'm not worried about them not having an ace, but I just don't know how the rest of the rotation stacks up. I mean, we could see guys like Taiga Kamichitani starting a lot, so I don't know. I like Shinichi Onuki, that's for sure. Kentaro Taida, I like those guys, but injuries play a big role in this thing. So if let's say Jackson and Azuma pitch really well and they get some help from another guy, they still have to make up three games a week and get some decent starts and then get bullpen guys and bullpen help. And that's going to wear a team down over the season. So I'm with you, Claudio. I don't see him doing very well, although I want to see them do well, but I can't see it from here. So I have him finishing in fifth place. Jim.
Okay, well, I'll be the out. Well, again, it's not me as much, but yeah, I'll be the outlier here a little bit. Hayata Nakagawa is an interesting guy. You mentioned him. He was basically released by the Oryx. I think the second time the Oryx has tried to get rid of him, they finally did. But he's a submariner. He's fun to watch. And I think there's a thing about submariners who in the preseason and in camp or something, they look really good because everybody's trying to get ready for the regular guys.
Yeah, yes.
You see this, the ball's rising. The ball's not supposed to rise. Of course, when you've seen it twice in a game, that's no longer a big deal. But he was really, really good in the preseason. But on the other hand, my counter to that is my impression of Daisuke Miura is pretty close to what John's of Takahiro Arai was. He showed a great deal of ability to deal with nonsense and weirdness last year. I mean, which is what you get when you have Trevor Bauer on your team. And
yep.
I mean, he just handled it and said, like, hey, we're here to play baseball. I'm not going to worry about it. And he could have, drove some other managers crazy out of their socks and stuff. But he looked, he just kept, was able to plug away. I don't like Ryuki Watarai. I love him.
Yeah. I would have loved him more in a Dragons uniform, but oh well.
Yeah. And I'm going to go back to my stats thing, and which is I'm going to tell you how many. Now, he was the way in Japan, we don't have an overall draft ranking because the first round is comprised of teams nominating their draft pick and then teams that pick the same guy draw a lottery.
Right.
So 12 teams all pick at the same time. And then the teams winning the lottery get their pick. So the way I rank my players in the draft is if you're a lottery pick, the number one guy is the guy who's selected by the most teams.
Okay.
And then the number two guy, the next,
even though I would say the flaw in that is that some teams want to pick a guy, but they know the guy doesn't want to sign, or they don't. They have somebody at the same position, or something like that, so they don't make the pick. So that doesn't always.
Well,
but yeah, I understand it. That's all you got. I understand.
So last year he was a number one pick in the draft. He was the number one overall. He might have been the joint number one overall because I think two guys were picked by two. No, hold on. He was picked by three teams, and there were two. Or four teams. Anyway, unimportant. He was the number one pick in the draft out of university. And you know how many outfielders? Oh, actually, he was out of a corporate league. Okay.
Yes.
How many outfielders have been taken in the history of Japan's draft number one overall?
How many?
Out of university.
That's 1950?
Corporate. Two.
And oh, man, you didn't let me guess.
I'm sorry, two, and they were both studs. One was my friend Kenichi Yazawa.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so these are the guys. There's just a tremendous track record. It's a small sample size, but these guys have been fantastic. And the number one, the top six or seven outfielders taken out of college, like the worst one was Yoshinobu Takahashi.
Mm.
So that's what we're looking for. I think he's shown that so far. I think he's a huge key addition for them. Of course, he's a problem because one of the good things those Bay Stars had going for them was Taiki Sekine suddenly. And they're basically pretty much with him, and I'm going to include Tyler Austin as a key addition, considering he's had about 50 plate appearances in the last 2 years.
Sure.
And he hadn't been able to play defense. So I'm guessing Yuki Watarai and Tyler Austin are basically going to remind Taiki Sekine of what it's like to be a fourth or fifth outfielder.
Sure.
Where he never did anything. Okay. So, and yeah, Shoti Imanaga, huge roster hit. I have them, however, finishing second.
Because
I do.
Because that's what the math says. Well,
yeah, they were a team that was better, was really better than their numbers in many ways.
Yeah, and I agree. Yeah, so, the Carp shouldn't have been as good, and the Bay Stars should have been better. But
and I think the rest of the league is kind of wishy-washy. So I don't think that's a crazy.
I got
crazy
you.
Prediction.
Well, here's why I think it is because who did you plug in at short, and who did you plug in at center field? Who's going to get all those innings? And the question is, you don't know because they don't know.
Yeah.
And so, and that's, again, we always, in Japanese, they call it the center line. In the States, we say up the middle, there are question marks. And I can't, that's why I didn't want.
Like the catcher.
certainly the catcher and.
The second base.
And the second baseman, who's not a great. He's not bad. He's much better.
He's got quick feet.
Physically, he shouldn't be able to make the plays.
No, he shouldn't.
Because he doesn't look that athletic.
No, he doesn't look like a second baseman. And so, they probably had to get an exemption from the Kanryakyu Guild to let somebody of that body type play second base.
But I'm with you. I think he's fine. He's at the very least adequate and maybe at the most slightly above.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have a shortstop partner. That was part of the problem last year. They didn't have a full-time shortstop, and their center fielder often got hurt or wasn't productive. And so I don't know who's going to be getting those at-bats and playing those innings.
And Toshiro Miyazaki will undoubtedly not have a second career year past 30.
Probably not, because he's injury prone. But again, something could happen. He could, you know.
Yeah, so I think that's a bigger thing. You know, he's consistent, but we'll see. Anyway,
so I think it is.
Yeah,
your,
I think it is an outlier prediction, but I'll go with it. Well, it didn't hurt me with the Carp last year.
So, well, I thought the
hurt
Carp
me with the Swallows.
I didn't think the Carp was bad. I just thought it was surprising in that I don't think the math was there. But here, I'm pretty sure the math is not there.
Okay.
Because we don't know. You know, there's too many variables that we can't. There's too many X's. There's nothing to multiply times the X, because we don't even know what the X is. It's X times X.
Okay.
But again, I would love to see Watarai do really well. I would love to see the Bay Stars up there in the end. So I'm not rooting against them for sure. But it's a difficult hard sell.
And since Michael's not here, somebody has to say Bay Stars.
You leave Michael alone. I'll stand up for my.
I have to correct his pronunciation because he's always correcting mine.
Okay. All right. Moving on to the Giants, and that's me. So the expected rotation, I'm going to start with Shohei Togo because I think he's already the opening day starter. I think he's going to be the ace, and he's going to be expected to throw a lot of innings. So that's that. Tomoyuki Sugano is there. But we don't know, as if we always know. We are not really sure that we're going to get a lot of innings from him. Foster Griffin pitched well last season. I expect him to do well again this year. Iori Yamasaki, Yushi Akahoshi, and Yohander Mendez, those guys probably going to get the bulk of the innings as long as they're healthy. And then they're the Giants. If they need anything else, they'll purchase it. They'll bring some guys up. They'll make some surprise moves, and they'll have guys contribute because they're the Giants, and that's what they do. key additions, I'm going to start with Shinnosuke Abe as the new manager. But Rougned Odor, whom I believe played with Tony Barnett and Yu Darvish with the Texas Rangers. I'm sure he played with Barnett because I remember Tony talking about him. I'm not sure if he was there during the Darvish years, but I'm pretty sure there was some overlap there. They also got Kyle Keller coming over from the Tigers. Dei Takahashi from SoftBank. They got Baba in the second chance draft. I mentioned him before leaving the Tigers. And then Yui Nishidate, their top draft pick. But, you know, there's a lot of change in the offseason. I would expect there to be a lot of difference on the field, but we'll have to see. The roster hits Adam Walker, who jumps over to SoftBank, Lewis Brinson, who is gone now. And then the toss-away duo of Sho Nakata and Hiroyuki Nakajima, who are both in Dragon's Land avoiding white rice. So the outlook for this team, this is a conundrum. I looked it up. So back-to-back fourth-place finishes. It's only the second time in the club's history that they finished in the second half of the Central League in back-to-back seasons.
And it's only the first time by the same manager. Who they then got rid of.
Yeah.
He stepped down.
He stepped away,
named his successor. We keep forgetting that storyline.
Stepped away, stepped down, fell down, got pushed from behind, all the above.
From the fourth floor, terrace, he stepped down.
He was trying to take a step up and step down. But anyway.
Hashtag high heat.
Anyway, so seven times since 1950, the Giants have finished in the lower three in the league. And the following year, they finished in the top three. So the last time they did that, the last time they finished in back-to-back seasons in the second half or the bottom three of the Central League was 2005 and 2006. And they've won league titles twice after that. So I think this has been an ugly stretch if you really look at it. The Giants finishing out of the playoffs most of the guys had them finishing in than had them finishing out of the playoffs. And we've seen this, you know, two years in a row struggling. So they made some changes. They kind of cleansed the Hara years out. Although the thing that Jim has pointed out through the years is Hara had been really good at bringing up young players and giving them opportunities to play. And I think because of that, we have a lot of unknown with the Giants. So with that as the background, I think when you bring up your manager from the, and they brought him up late in the second half of the season last year to get a head start.
They brought him out late in the last season, the year before that, to get a head start, only to find out that
he was a manager. It wasn't so much a head start as it was a butt start. But anyway, because he was just sitting there doing nothing. So I'm going to really be watching Abe and seeing how he handles situations. And I think that's going to say more about the Giants than anything else. Because talent-wise, I mean, we've seen a couple young players do well in the preseason here. We've seen some pitchers do well. And they're going to have talent. They're going to have guys who are going to produce. I'm not really worried about their production per se. I'm worried about the guy on the bench who had a tendency to maybe be very strict and physical with some of his pitchers when he was the catcher, an active player, when he was a catcher, hitting him in the dugout and that kind of thing. And I don't think that's the approach he's going to take, but I do think he definitely is going to have a angry, happy, emotional roller coaster kind of situation in the dugout. I don't think it's going to be smooth sailing. So I want to see how he runs the dugout and those kind of things. And I think if he can keep his emotions steady and everything is rock steady there, I think the players will go out and produce. But I can't make an argument for them being great or not great because we don't know a lot about a lot of the players. The one thing I do know about Odor, I heard someone talking about him earlier. They said that he talked with Yu Darvish, and Darvish was impressed with his ability to hit low pitches and off-speed pitches, so that he always thought he would play well in Japan. So that's the one thing, the one comment that I heard. So I'm expecting things from him, but he has to play. I guess he's going to end up in the outfield. Mm. He can be a utility player, but I think he's going to end up in the outfield. I'm not sure he has the arm for that. So I want to see how, or the range for that, but we'll see how that works out. But he should be able to be productive at the plate once he gets used to everything. So I'm going to say, just based on the Giants being the Giants and their ability to bounce back after a bad season, that they're going to make the playoffs this year. So I have him finishing in third place. Claudio.
Yeah, third place for me as well.
Why are you copying?
I think they're going to I think they're going to improve a little bit.
Because he's not going to copy me. Nobody's that
I think they're going to improve compared to last year a little bit. I think Abe can bring some good things, good influence to the team and have them. And they have good players. I mean, the talent has always been there. It's just an issue of how you handle that talent and whether you can get wins out of them. They have good players. They have, you know, good pitching and good hitters as well and stuff. It's a matter of, okay, can we get all this effort together and get some wins out of this? And I think with Abe, a new manager, the team can improve a bit, and probably not much compared to last year, but well enough to make it to the playoffs. So that's what I'm thinking, third place. Just on a side note, you know, you hope the best for Odor, but the guy is hitting 0.56 under 100 so far in the spring.
He's studying, man.
My followers in Latin America who follow him more consistently are already saying he's not going to make it in Japan. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see whether he can, because that's the issue, right? You either adapt or you don't. There's no like middle ground. If you get it, you get it, then you produce well. But if you don't, you're out. So and he doesn't seem to be adapting very well so far. So I hope he's going to get a chance for sure. He's going to start probably the season with the first team, and let's see how it goes. But you know, if after 2 weeks or 3 weeks he's not doing well, then most likely he's going to spend the rest of the season on the minor team. So let's see. I really like Mendes as a starter. Reminds me a lot of Christopher Mercedes. He's been doing really well. I think he's going to be a good member of the rotation this year again. I like Baldonado, the Panamanian guy, who's been good in relief. He's doing a good job. So those two pieces, I think, are good. Foster Griffin should be, you know, consistent, you know, based on what we saw last year. But we have to see, like, as you said, there's a lot of unknowns. We don't know how well the team is going to respond to Abe or how well Abe is going to, handle himself as a manager. But you know, I think the talent is there. They have talent enough to make it to the postseason. So third place is my guess.
Now, I would like to push back on the comment about the preseason. Again, we don't know what the adjustments that Odor is going through. And here's the thing. We've seen guys, imports, come over here and tear it up in the preseason and not be able to hit in the regular season. And I think we've seen some of the opposite too. So I'm willing to give him a chance. I don't think it's easy, especially for a guy who has been around. I think he knows what he's doing. So I don't think it's an easy transition. But I think, like you said, you either can hit or you can't. And I think he has been a good hitter throughout his career. He just hasn't had the opportunity to see enough Japanese pitchers. I think once he gets around, and especially in the Central League, I wouldn't judge a guy, you know, after 2 months in the Central League, because all the pitchers, we've just been talking about how good the pitching is and how there's no dynamic bats. Nobody's really tearing it up. So I would give him a break on that respect. Jim.
Yeah, definitely. Rougned Odor has been a good hitter. I think you could ask Jose Bautista about that.
Whoa! Whoa! Right to the jaw. Comment wise.
Okay. Well, no, and I that's just the way it is. You can't really ignore that one.
No, you can't. That was nice shot.
I have him picked fourth. Again, not any sort of, there's no vinegar or vitriol in that. As far as the Giants, other some comments, Tomoyuki Sugano, yes, great guy. I really love him. And he is home, but we don't know if the lights are on.
Agreed.
Rei Takahashi, I think, is a good player. I think that was a really good trade for the Giants. And they got somebody who has been has been quite good. Now, Adam Walker has always showed flashes of what he can do, but not been consistent. He's also not young. But anyway, they weren't using him, so why not? And Shonakata is sort of like, are you still here?
Well, no, he's
I think
now,
you know, he was obviously Tatsunori Hara was advised by Hideki. The story goes that Hideki Kuriyama, the former fighter's manager, advised Hara not to sign him, and he did anyway, and he got something out of him, not a lot, but I think with Hara gone, Nakata was going to be leaving. Now, I have no idea what to make of Shinosuke Abe as a manager. John pointed out something really good, that he could be really tough. And now he was, on the other hand, Abe was one of these guys, a little bit like, a little old school, like Katsuya Nomura, who could be really, really harsh on player. Well, he could be harsh on everybody, but he could be really harsh on players who he liked, but he didn't think they were actually trying hard enough, or they weren't getting the or maybe they were not quite quick enough to absorb the lessons he was trying to impart.
Okay.
And they could turn, you know, that could turn sour on him a lot. And on the other hand, with guys, with other players who were giving the effort, he could be all sweetness and light. He's got that little split personality. I think the interesting thing about him is that he's gotten really good press from all the old school former managers and former players.
Because he's an old school type guy.
Because exactly. Not only is he old school, but he is to a degree an old school guy, but he's also aware, keenly aware of where his bread is buttered with the Giants, I feel. And I think that it goes a long way to explain how they've been trying to shove him into the manager's job for the last 4 years. They really want him because he is basically sucking up to every former old player by saying, we're going to go back to the Showa era, hard training. You know, though, you guys had it right. We don't know nothing. And they're just, all the old guys are just absolutely in love with Abe.
Lapping that stuff up, yeah.
I know. It reminds me very much of the way the media was tripping over themselves to predict great things for the DeNA Bay Stars when they hired Kiyoshi Nakahata as their manager, because this guy loved nothing better than to schmooze with the media. And I think the Giants, the attitude with Abe is he likes nothing better than to schmooze with the old guys. I mean, that's just his thing. Now, it doesn't matter. That doesn't matter a bit. It only going to matter what it manages. But I think it flavors our impressions of him. So it's going to be really interesting to see who really shows up. I mean, when Hara was a new manager as a player, he was a guy who basically he was kind of a charismatic guy who had nothing. I mean, he was a good player. He was an outstanding athlete and a great player, but he was also a bit of a prima donna. And there wasn't ever any belief that he actually knew what he was doing. Now, that part we kind of saw as a manager, but he had ideas. You know, I saw this prima donna, and I thought, this guy's never going to take a star player out of the lineup. And the first thing he did was saying, oh, you're not working hard enough. Why should I possibly use you? Give me one of those guys on the farm team who's busting his butt.
Yeah.
And changed the Giants completely. So I guess the end point of that long diatribe is that you really can't tell, and it's going to be a lot of fun to see who really shows up, whether it's going to be the guy Abe's presented himself to be or something more sensible. And my guess is it's going to be something more sensible.
Isn't it interesting? Like, the Giants last season had 164 home runs, I think, 40 more than the Swallows, who were second, but they were third in runs scored and all that stuff. And we're not even talking about all that stuff. We're focused on different things because you know, we saw what I guess dysfunction in a sense looks
absolutely.
Like
absolutely
on the field. And so it's not about the players, it's more about I have this discussion with people, but yeah, it's not the players who win the championships all the time, it's the organization and the culture that's behind it. And
right,
and when you step into that you fall in line and you know what to do and you know where to be and how to act and how to perform and you learn all those things. It's not just being a great player.
Yeah, I think there was a consensus, just like there's already a very strong consensus among Dragons fans that the big problem is the manager. And I think there was a consensus last year that Hara was the manager. I mean, when the manager comes out and says, uses these guys, and then says, the guys I used weren't good enough, it kind of tells you that, you know, he was looking for, I don't know, he reminded me of an American president who's basically his only job was to stay in office. I mean, that's what Hara, it seems like that was Hara's whole thing. His whole thing was predicated on him being manager for life. Yes. And rather than anything the team was doing, everything was, every fault is the player's fault, not mine. And sure. So getting out of that will be a definite improvement, but it remains to be seen what Abe's doing. He's an incredibly hard studying guy, very serious guy. And of course, the problem is he doesn't suffer fools at all. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe they'll say, we'll say, get rid of that. Maybe that is what the Giants need. I don't know.
All right. So next up, the Swallows, Jim.
Okay. Yakult Swallows were fifth place last year after I predicted them to be runaway first place winners. Well, my predictions last year for first place were nearly as bad as you could get. The only way they could have been worse is if the Swallows had finished last.
Blind appraisals. Blind appraisals.
Anyway, that happens.
Wrong ones.
Yeah.
None of them can be bad.
The expected rotation. Yasuhiro Ogawa, Sai Snead, Kojiro Yoshimura, Keiji Takahashi, Reiji Kosawa. I'm just going to keep going here because it's probably going to look like that. Elvin Rodriguez, Taichi Amano, and making an occasional five-inning appearance and pretending he's a year younger like Tsuyoshi Wada.
Grandpa.
Masanori Ishikawa.
Grandpa Masanori.
I wish I could say I was not old enough to be his dad.
Well, he's old enough to be his dad.
Hashtag high heat.
Wow. Well, yeah, with cloning and all, sure. Okay. Okay, before we start singing, I'm my own grandpa. I don't really see any key additions for the Swallows. I look and I don't see them. Roster hits, Dylan Peters was a lefty who got contact. And I don't know what the thinking was about that. Here's a guy who was really pretty good. He didn't have a lot of good sexy numbers, but he was really good. I think they're going to miss him in retrospect. He's off in Korea now, I believe. Now, the Swallows had bad years from lots of players last year. And even if Munetaka Murakami doesn't repeat his 2022 perfection, normal production, somewhere on their career norms from Keiji Takahashi, shortstop Hideki Nagaoka, and center fielder Yasutaka Shiomi should be enough for the Swallows to be in playoff contention, provided they don't lose too many games by having the outfield in with two outs in the ninth inning.
Favorite move.
I know. One run strategies, baby.
Can we swing the cameras around and show the outfield just for Jim?
He
loves that.
I do. I mean, I will grant that this is a strategy that pays off. It pays off sometimes. There are lots of chances where it pays off, but if you got two outs, you put your outfielders where they're most likely to get the last out of the game. Okay. My prediction is third place in a dogfight with the Giants.
All right, Claudio.
My prediction is the boldest of them all. I have them finishing first just by pure process of elimination, since I didn't get any of the other teams to be first, and by default, the Swallows have to be.
I've had years
the Swallows
like that.
Have to be first.
I've had years like
no,
that
I think,
back in the day.
I think it's because they still have mostly the same players they had in those two great seasons in 21 and 22. They had a really bad season last year, lots of injuries and stuff. And if they're healthy this year, they should be good. They should be better. And they still have, you know, amazing offensive players. They have decent pitching, not the best, but they have some pitching. And if they're healthy this year, they should be better, just logically. And since I'm thinking, okay, the Carp are not going to be as good, the Tigers are not going to be as good, the Giants are not going to be as good, then somebody has to win by default, has to be the Swallows. So I'm picking them to finish first this year to see if they stay healthy and they do as well as they did in 22, then they should be a really good team to watch this year. So, you know, first place for them. Let's see how that goes. Well, last year I picked Hanshin to finish last and they finished first. So, hey, anything could happen here. We'll see.
And I did the opposite. I picked the Swallows first and they finished. Well, they didn't finish last.
Well, part of the fun of this exercise is that, and I always talk about it every time we do these things, I say, look, there's always an upset, you know, upsets happen and we might be calling it an upset. It's just that we can't see the picture clearly right now. And so from the view that we have at the moment, this is what it looks like. But, the other thing I've been saying, I think the past, I don't know, 2-3 seasons that these races are razor thin. It's going to be really close, except for one team. And I think we can all figure out what that team is and where they're going to be. But it's really difficult to see what's happening. And then I don't think there's a fine line between winning and losing. We're talking about a team, like you said, Claudio, basically bringing back most of the players who contributed to winning a Japan Series championship. And they finished last place, almost. I mean, the Dragons don't count. So they basically finished in last place. So it's again, if everybody's healthy, I think there might be a couple of key additions. Kota Nishidate, a college pitcher, and then Jose Espada, a right-hander. But yeah, they didn't really lose that much either. And they didn't gain that much. And they did finish fifth, but it's Murakami last season just got out of the gate slowly. He was sluggish all season. But when you look at his overall numbers for the entire season, which is something I think I said about July or August, I said, I think when you look at the end of the season, he's going to have a decent season. He did. And so it wasn't that he was terrible. He just wasn't, like Jim said, he wasn't 2022 Triple Crown guy. But you've got Yamada, who's also a force out there. You've got Shiomi, who's a great table setter. This team could be right back in the Japan Series. The problem I see, or the problem I could see, is the pitching. And yes, they can run a bunch of guys out there. And in fact, if Okugawa actually lives up to even a half a season of his potential that we saw before, yeah, I don't think so either. Jim shaking his head. No, I don't think so either. But you put that with Ogawa and Takahashi and Snead, and now you're talking about a formidable group of guys to bring to a series each time. I like you said, who knows who's going to get the fifth and sixth days? Could be a bunch of guys. So, and that for me is the problem. I can easily see them winning three games in the first part of this week and then losing all three games in the second half of the week and ending up being a 500 team in the end. So again, the Murakami bat is like the Yuki Yanagita bat of the Pacific League in the Central League. I think he's hands down, he's the most dynamic bat in the league. So don't you think the other teams are not going to want to face him with runners on base and they're going to be doing everything they can do to figure out his holes? And I think that's something we experienced last season. And so I think he comes back in with a little bit more adjustments, a little bit more patience, makes pitchers come into the zone a little bit more often. And then I think we get a better version of him than we did last season. Mm. And again, Osuna and Santana, I think there's leapt to the and depth to the lineup. And I think the bench is okay, but there's some question marks here and there. And that's what I'm really most worried about. I think guys getting hurt and putting those bench guys in and making them everyday players. And then
that's when, another story.
When they get, if they have to sit down or if there's a better matchup and you pull those guys and now you're trying to protect that one run in the ninth inning and, or in the eighth inning or a late game situation, who's on the mound and who's in the field defending for you. And I think those things are going to play a bigger role than we suspect. And I just can't see a path to the playoffs for the Swallows. And I have them finishing in fifth place.
Mm. Let me add quickly, there was another sign, a Venezuelan guy named Miguel Yajure.
Yajure, a
pitcher as well. So it's Yajure and Espada are newcomers this year. And then
I saw Espada pitch. I saw both of them pitch. I saw Espada pitch, and he had some good stuff. And you never know watching one game, but Yajure. It was like he was trying to throw fat pitches. But, you know, here's the thing with the Swallows, and this is a comment I should make, is the Swallows have, you know, there's a lot of there's a lot of competition. When there's a lot of competition, it tends to be, you know, the default mode is set to let's not mess it up. You know, let's just be what we can be and let's not mess it up. And one of the things about the Swallows that I really like is pitching coach Tomohito's very, very Pacific League style approach, which is we're going to throw strikes. We're going to be in the zone. We're going to get ahead in counts. We're going to dominate the game. Now, that last year turned out to be, you know, we're going to attack, launch these frontal attacks and then not worry about the fact that we walked into a minefield. Because that's what it was like. It was like everyone was waiting for it, and they were ambushed by every single hitter in the league, you know, 100 times a year. So, but on the other hand, the positive approach is something that can, you know, it can kill you sometimes, but I think it's also something that can reproduce the incredible kind of pitching results we saw from the Swallows in 2021 and 2022. And I think, you know, that is very possible, that if the guys can actually execute those pitches to a better degree than they did last year, when too many of those pitches in the zone really didn't have any business being thrown, then it could be a remarkably different look. So I think that there's that one seed of positivity, that the Swallows approach is the most aggressive in the Central League in that respect. And that could be a big thing. I mean, they're not just going to sit around and do what everybody else does. So I like that.
All right. Well, again, we're kind of all over the place. Swallows, Jim has them in third, Claudio has him in first, and I have him in fifth. So spread out.
Yeah,
it'll be fun. Well, you know what I love? My favorite part of the year is about early July when Claudio goes on Twitter and says, look, all my predictions are right where I expected them to be. And, you know, it's a half game difference here between fifth and sixth. And it's like a virtual tie at the top, but one team has played more games than the other.
July is too late. It's usually around May. I don't get that. By July, I'm already way off.
I said early July. I was giving you a break.
Yeah.
But
well, that's interesting, because my favorite part of the season was John says, it's time for me to rewrite my prediction, to revise my predictions.
That's day two of the season, right?
I mean, what's up with that? I don't lose any sweat or any sleep over my predictions ever. point to rewrite them. You know, okay, I was wrong. Oh, fine. Okay, move on.
Yes, because you don't put any effort into.
That's harsh.
No.
I put different effort into it. I put effort into finding historic trends.
Your effort is all button pushing. Ours, you know, think about these
things. Mine is thinking about it in a different way.
Well, I remember one year, I don't know if it was last year or the previous year.
I did do it by random one year.
But you did say, no, let me finish. You said, you know, my computer spat out this, but I disagree. And okay. I remember you saying
it happens
that.
All the time.
Yeah, I remember you
objectively,
saying that.
Subjectively, I disagree with the results. And then, but you know what I find out is when I subjectively disagree with my results, I'm wrong more often than I'm right.
So see, like I said, I was at the gym. I'm on the treadmill this morning. No, I got to move this team up. I've got to move this team down. They don't have enough pitching.
Think about that. I mean, I do think about that. Yeah, I think, Swallow second place. You know, Carp's fifth place. What? Mm-hmm. But yeah. We'll see. I mean, there is a reason for it, and I'll tell you the main reason I've realized. I mean, looking over and over at the data from like 70 years of two league baseball, 72 years, is that the biggest predictor of how well a team is going to do in the next season was how many runs scored and how many runs allowed they did the previous season. Mm. I mean, by far.
Sure.
I mean, winning like five times more than winning percentage.
Makes sense.
So it's that's pretty much what I base my thing on, and that's why the carp are doing the elevator drop this year, and why if Chunichi, whose record was much better than it should have been last year.
Yeah, that is true.
Whose record was better than last place, it's like I said, if they could have finished seventh, they probably would have struggled to do that.
Yeah. Well, let's get to the Dragons here, and I've been dreading this, but in part not, because it's going to be comedy time. So the Dragons' expected rotation: Shinnosuke, Ogasawara, Yudai Ono, Yuya Yanagita, great top three, and maybe even Hiroto Takahashi is in the top three. Maybe he's the opening day guy. I don't think so. I think it's going to be Yanagi. But Hideaki Wakui was actually respectable as a starter for them last season, I think in part because he's pitching in that dome most of the time. And then they played good defense behind their pitchers. And then they brought on Humberto Mejia late last year, and he was fairly good, although I suspect the Central League will figure him out a little bit better this season. And perhaps Akira Nao gets some spot starts here and there, so we might see him, the wannabe two-way player who started out as a batter, switched over to pitching only, and has actually had some decent outings on the mound. Key additions: Alex Dickerson, with whom I was able to speak recently, so we've got an interview with him coming up in the future of JBW, and twice discarded Sho Nakata, right-hand pitcher, their top pick in the draft, also Sho Kusaka, and I say top pick in the draft, but the Dragons missed out on two of their lotteries and settled for him. So we'll see what that turns out to be. And then the intriguing developmental player, Christian Rodriguez, a slick fielding shortstop who has absolutely no use for a bat, but can really field. He can really field, and he might stick on the team because he can run and be a defensive replacement late in games. Roster hits, I don't know that we can really call them roster hits because they just kind of cleaned up the mess that they made themselves. They outgoes Zoilo, Almonte, and Aristides Aquino, and anyone lucky enough to hit the escape button and get out of town with their white rice in hand, I'm sure. So the outlook, so Kazuyoshi Tatsunami, I guess, he has looked like a rookie manager for two seasons, so he's coming into his third season. Maybe he will look better. I saw him at Seibu Dome. I'm going to call it Seibu Dome until probably the day they change it back to Seibu Dome. he looked like he belonged. He was having fun. He was smiling when I saw him out there the other day. So it looks like he has at least changed his tune in terms of the no white rice and the color of players' hair. But hey, they couldn't hit. They haven't been able to hit for a while now. And I don't know, every offensive category that you can imagine, they were either last or below last last season. They were awful. We saw last night, again, a scoreless draw. They had a runner on first with one out. It was a catcher. There was a double to the left, down the left field line, and their catcher's trying to just do the basic thing on a double and run to third base and got thrown out. It was a good play, but got thrown out at third base. They end up not scoring. And I'm thinking even if it was one out first and third, they'd figure out how to blow that opportunity anyway. So they can't score. they were like an elephant trying to sit on an egg and not crack it. It's just not going to happen. They just splat. Okay, so they pitched really, really well. In fact, their closer, Raydel Martinez, maybe had the best season of a closer I've ever seen in person in Japan. I think he gave up 2 runs the whole season, one of them on a home run.
He didn't allow an earned run until August 13th or something. It was really good.
Ridiculous. And I kept saying he was the best closer in Japan, but he didn't have the save number. So people kept saying, well, no, he doesn't have, it's Japan.
Yeah,
so
but that's a thing that's not entirely in his control. It's not a competition where if you go out and they say, oh, you can retire 3 of the 4 players you face in the ninth inning, regardless of the outcome, you earn a save. You know, it's not something you can do.
Yes. Yeah, understood.
And I think he would have won the saves title because he got injured in the last 2 weeks. If he had played the entire season, he most likely would have won the saves title.
Saving 90% of their wins. It would have been incredible,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So I'm kidding with that number. I don't know what it would have been, but it was something ridiculous because they only won 56 games or so. So it's pretty close to 90%. But anyway, the one thing to remember about the Dragons, I think I said halfway through the season, they have a bad record, but they're not necessarily a bad team in that they're in the game every night. They don't get blown out because they had pretty much good pitching and very competent and capable pitchers going out there every night. So they were in games. A lot of their runs came by, and Jim will attest to this maybe, a lot of their runs were scored in late game situations and had to have replay, or it was a close play at the plate. You know, so some guy getting a fingernail on the plate before he was tagged, and then they had to go to replay to see it actually happen. And that's how they got runs. They just weren't able to get runs easily. And I don't know that they added anything that's really going to help them in the run production side, unless, you know, and I hate to even, I mean, I have such a bad taste in my mouth from Sho Nakata that I don't even want to root for him, even though he's wearing the colors and the uniform of the team that I love. So it's going to be perplexing. It's going to be, I'm going to have a lot of, ambivalence watching him and hoping that he can be productive, but not too productive. But I don't know. For the Dragons to get a run, it was an act of the Japanese diet, similar to an act of Congress to get them runs. And I just don't see how they're going to get any runs. So in a 6-team league, I've got them finishing 7th, 8th, and 9th. Jim.
Yeah, well, they could probably get the Shizuoka Hayate to go over and take play 6 to, you know, to give them some competition so they don't have to finish last. The new minor league team in the Western League, so which is a non-pro team, which is weird, they wouldn't
score off of them either. So
yeah, no, well, who knows? No, I think they might. But anyway, no, I think the Dragons' pitching could be really, really, really good. And so the Dragons, one of the things that, because Japanese society is not about what you do, but about what you shouldn't have done, and. No, I mean, this is serious. With all seriousness, people advance in your social or your work group by not messing up when your colleagues do. So the Dragons, so in that sense, the ultimate Japanese baseball game is a 1-0 game where the team that makes the team that makes the fewest mistakes wins. And the Dragons could be really good. The pitching could be really good, and they're really going to test the sanity of people who believe that if you don't allow runs, you can't lose.
Which is what happened last night in that scoreless draw.
Because they didn't lose. Yeah, I don't have to repeat what John said, and I mean he said it as eloquently as I ever could. But I have to think that, you know, I don't know the whole thing about the rice. I think they had a chance to get JT Chargois used to pitch for Rockton, but they found out he went to Rice University, so they canned that one. And then they were considering, after they found out that Jim Rice's ethnic background, he was okay to coach, apparently.
Oh gosh.
All right. Yeah, enough of why the dragons. I mean, obviously the best answer to the question of why do you think Japanese baseball teams have no ambition to be better? And the answer is Kazuyoshi Tatsunami.
All right. Well, obviously, the only slot you have left is last place, Claudio.
Last place, obviously. Tatsunami, one word to summarize everything, just Tatsunami, like with a picture, no explanation, just that's the image.
Exactly.
That's what's going to happen to the Dragons this season. Just that's it.
Well, I actually started calling him Tatsunami, like a tsunami.
Oh.
Because of the
big
wave
tsunami,
of negativity coming, yeah, that he produces. Yes, but yeah. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I agree with you guys. So the pitching is great. They have really solid starters. They have great relief pitchers. And, of course, Raiden Martinez, who's fantastic as a closer. So the pitching is great, and the defense is good. The problem is the scoring runs. And it's not like they don't have good players. They do have, like, some decent hitters. It's just, you know, they don't manage to score runs. And it's like, you know, it's a historical thing. It's not just now that they're having this problem. Even back in the great days when Nochiai was a manager, I remember, and I have it clearly recorded in my mind because it was so impactful. In the 2011 season, the Dominican Maximo Nelson, who had a great season that year, he lost 9 starts in a row.
Yes.
And one of them, he himself hit a double with no outs.
Nobody
and
out.
Still, they couldn't
that.
Score.
They didn't get him home, man.
So I was like, come on. You guys need to. And the team ended up winning still, like the league title that year. So, you know, it's not new. They have been like that forever, you know. So I don't know. I mean, you hope for the best, of course. Let's see if they can do something positive this year. But I don't have much hopes for anything, you know, other than sixth place. So we'll see.
So I was listening to the game last night, and Kenji no Kawasaki was doing the color commentary, and he said, yeah, the Dragons create a lot of chances. They just have to hit better when they have runners in scoring position, as if that's a thing. You know, like, oh, you can learn this. This is an acquired ability.
Hey, you wouldn't believe how many managers have told me that. If we only hit three, if my 250 hitting team only hit 350 with runners in scoring position, we would have won 5 more games last year.
Yeah, well, I'm like, yeah, okay, you can say that they have to do that, but doing it is the problem. And apparently with some of the, and the other thing I in this interview you'll hear when I talked to Alex Dickerson, I said, look, you got world-class coaches on this team now. They added another guy who could be a Hall of Famer, but you got a Hall of Famer as your manager. Kazuhiro Wada could be a Hall of Famer. The pitching coach, they've got great coaching.
Akira Otsuka
joined the staff, and this is a world-class coaching, so this is not a coaching problem per se. It's
a
cultural problem.
And ironically, I think Tatsunami would be a great coach.
Yes.
Working individually with players one-to-one, but I'll tell you, and I said this to somebody, and he went, that's why. 2013 WBC, I watched over and over as like two guys who had like wild childhoods sort of bonded, and that was Tatsunami and Shonakata.
These
two have really got a thing going.
Well, I hope it translates to some production, but then again, I don't. It's feeling.
We'll see if he can work with anybody who didn't dye his hair when they're kids.
We shall see. All right. Well, I'm looking at all of our picks, and I'll go through them really quickly here. Jim has the Tigers finishing first in front of the Bay Stars, with the Swallows in third, the Giants, and then the Carp and Dragons. Claudio has the Swallows finishing first, with the Tigers and Giants following, and then the Carp, Bay Stars, and Dragons out of the playoffs, fourth, fifth, and sixth. And I have the Tigers, then the Carp, then the Giants, followed by the Bay Stars, Swallows, and Dragons missing the playoffs. So we've got the Tigers, at least it looks like everyone's got them fairly high, 2 first place votes and 1 second place vote. So they come out here in this prediction show winning. And then right behind them, the Giants, actually, we all have them finishing either third or fourth. I shouldn't say we all. The three of us, two of us have them finishing third. One of us has them finishing fourth. So they're pretty close up to toward the top. So, and then we've got one vote for the Swallows winning the Central League. And I'm not laughing because I don't think it's possible. I think anything's possible because everything is so close in this league. And Jim having the Swallows in third place, I'm the one who's got them finishing probably in fifth place. But we will see. It's going to be a fun season. We appreciate you, Claudio, taking a couple hours to talk to us and do this. And we will come back next week with the same trio.
Yeah, you know, my pleasure. As always, it was a lot of fun. And yes, I'll see you guys next week. And we'll talk about the Pacific League.
The Pacific League next week. All right. Anyone who has a question, hit us up on Twitter.com. at JBW Podcast with the hashtag High Heat. Send questions by email to yakyujohn@gmail.com. You can also go to the Facebook page and leave us a message there, and look for us on iTunes and Google Podcasts. Again, with the Pacific League, we'll be back next week. Enjoy your baseball.
See you at the ballpark.
Bye, everyone.
Follow the hosts on Twitter at JBW Podcast and at JBallAllen. Submit your questions with hashtag High Heat and listen for an answer in an upcoming episode.